Hello and welcome. Today we are going to be talking about God's divine appointments and His deliverance in times of devastation and destruction through the trials that we go through in our life. God comes to our rescue in our times when we are at our weakest and our bleakest, where things look hopeless and seem impossible to fix or to be repaired. And that is when we get to see the mighty deliverance and provisions of God move in our lives mightily. There is a story in Exodus 2 about how the Israelites, who were God's people, His chosen ones, who were taken into captivity and slavery by the Egyptians because they were growing in numbers and in population. And the king, the Pharaoh back then, thought they were going to take over his kingdom and wanted to put a stop to it. So he thought, if I put them in captivity and in bondage, a place where I will give them heavy burdens, they will no longer have the energy or strength to populate or to possibly take over my kingdom. So he issued an order, a decree, to have all baby boys killed as soon as they were born. Then we see in Exodus in chapter 2, it says, there was a man of the house of Levi who had a wife, and she conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months, because she didn't want him to get killed. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's banks. And his sister stood afar off to know what would become of him. So imagine how the mother must have felt having to let go of her 3-month-old child and placing him in the ark. This word ark here means a vessel. It's the same word that was used when Noah was in the ark. So it's a place of refuge, of safety. And she placed him in this ark for his safety so that he would not be killed. She had hope that God would save her son. Imagine what the anxiety and stress and fear was that she must have been under to do this. The fear of having known that the Pharaoh would kill him, or knowing whether she made the right decision to place him in there. It says his sister looked over him until she found out what would happen to him. She was his older sister, who looked out for her younger brother. During the midst of the baby's mother's devastation and trial and fear and distress and all that she was going through, God shows up in a mighty way, through other ways the mother could never have imagined. It says that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river at that particular time, and her maidens walked alongside the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So let's look at this for a moment. God used Pharaoh's daughter. The very enemy's household that was coming against God's children was there at that appointed time to have compassion and to be there to save the baby boy's life. It was unbeknownst to his mother that God arranged that special time, that hour, that moment, to move on behalf of the child and the whole family. Ladies, what trial are you going through right now in your life that looks impossible? Expect God to move when things in your life are at the darkest and gloomiest. That's when God's glory will shine the brightest and His power and might will come through for you. It says that his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" Look how God gave this young girl, this baby boy's sister, words of wisdom to save her baby brother's life. She didn't quiver with fear, knowing that this was the Pharaoh's daughter that she was speaking to. But God gave her strength to speak up for a baby who could not speak for himself. God uses the most unqualified, insignificant people according to the world standards to do his mighty work. If you feel you can't be used by God, you need to think again. You don't have to be a skilled speaker to help others. You just have to be obedient and willing to do the work that God wants you to do for him. It says that Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. We see God here moving on Pharaoh's daughter's heart to have compassion to save this baby boy's life. But she also listened to the wisdom of a child. God's favor is for everyone, young and old alike. What's even more amazing, this baby's sister takes her brother to her mother, to his mother, to nurse, and the mother gets paid for nursing her own baby. God's abundant provisions is everywhere. The enemy tries to kill, steal, and destroy, and God comes to provide, protect, and preserve life. God wants to show every human being the power and the might that He is and could be as your God. He wants to provide, protect, and preserve your life and the lives of your loved ones if you allow Him to. Let Him show the glory and His significance and the power of who He can be as your mighty and great God. And the child grew, it says, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew you out of the waters." And isn't this amazing how when it was time for the child to be weaned, and they said back then they would be weaned at the age between 3 to 5 years old. So the mother had this bonding time with her son before she gave him over to his adopted mother. You know, it's interesting because his name was Moses, being drawn out of the water. And God draws us out of the waters when we feel that we're drowning. God is there to our rescue. He is there to place us in His ark of love and compassion. Now Moses grew up in this royal family as the prince's son. He was treated with the finest education, foods, possessions of the land, all the finest things of the kingdom were given to Moses. Nothing was withheld from him. But if you read the story, Moses goes on to find out that everything he owned left him empty. He had no fulfillment. He knew there was more to life, but didn't know how to receive or get more of what he was looking for. How can he live in such luxury and plenty when his relatives are in poverty and being brutally beaten down by the burdens of the Egyptians? And that's what the world does to us. It beats us down. And we are to have compassion and love and tenderness towards those of our own to be able to protect and provide for them. That's what God is showing us here. You see, God's blessings will always prosper, but the world's ways are not God's ways. They will always fade away. God's never do. So many times we think, if I had this God, if I had that, I would be happier. But the opposite is so true. The very things we own sometimes own us. They become snares to us, snares of pride and arrogance, and become idols in our lives. Moses, if you read on, became a strong, mighty deliverer for God's people. He didn't exactly do things right. In fact, he did a lot of things wrong. He was a murderer. He murdered an Egyptian man who was hurting one of his fellow people, a Hebrew man. And he wanted to protect this man's life, so he killed this man that was hurting him. And he hid his sin, he thought, from everyone. Until one day, two Hebrew men were fighting. And Moses says, "Why are you striking your companion?" And then one of them said to him, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" You see, God tells us to take the plank out of our own eye so that we can be able to help someone with theirs. So Moses was afraid as he found out his sin was found out. And he says, "Surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh hears of this matter, he will seek to kill me." But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. God's word says that our sin will always find us out, just like it did with Moses. What God wants us to do is repent and confess. It is so that the enemy cannot keep us in bondage, in captivity, because God wants to set us free. He wants us to have freedom in Christ, freedom in Him, to be able to do what He wants us to do and to be joy-filled, not with the pleasures of the world, but with the presence of His Spirit. There is no sin too bad that our God will not forgive us from. Maybe you're dealing right now with aborting your child. and you've been carrying this secret that has worn you down and taken you captive. God wants to set you free from this bondage of condemnation. Confess your sin to Him. And if you've already done this, and perhaps the enemy is now beating you down with self-condemnation, a heavy burden that God has already freed you from. You need to share your secret with somebody that you can trust, because as soon as you do, the enemy cannot use it against you to beat you up any longer. Then begin to immerse yourself in God's word and seek godly counsel from another woman who has dealt with this same thing. God wants to use your mistakes for His message. He wants you to be used to take your message of hope to the hurting and those that are burdened down with shame, sin, and guilt. Help save the lives of others with your voice and acts of love and compassion. It says it happened that during this whole process of time that the king of Egypt died, Pharaoh died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard the groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. There is a process of time when God moves, a perfect time when we need to cry out with groans from our souls to our God. It could be we are in bondage to sin, or maybe perhaps being held captive from our hurt or pains that have happened to us in the past. Or maybe perhaps it's shame of sin we committed, like that abortion or adultery or other things, and the pain we caused someone else is actually tormenting us. Cry out to God for help. When you do, just like the cries of the Israelites came up to God and He heard their groanings of despair and looked upon them, He sent them a deliverer through Moses. God does the same with us today. Over 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son Jesus to deliver us from all of our bondages of sin, hurt, shame, and pain. If you are tired of carrying all these burdens, then it's time for you to lay them now at the feet of Jesus and let Him carry them for you. He's already done that for you on the cross. Let Him be your deliverer today. And you can do that by placing your faith and your trust in Him alone. It's time for you to let go of the possessions of the world that are keeping you in bondage and held to it. Not that possessions are wrong, but if they become your God, then it's time for you to let them go. Ladies, there is no other God that can save you but Jesus. If you like to make Jesus your deliverer today, all you have to do is say a simple prayer, believe in your heart that He died on the cross to save you, and repent of all your sins. If you like to do that, then please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I humbly come before You now, and I surrender my life to You. I lay down all of my burdens before You, and I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You, Jesus, died on the cross for me and that You are Lord over everything. I ask You to please forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank You for delivering me today and making me Your beloved child, and for taking these burdens of sin, shame, and pain far from me and replacing them into Your healing place, where I will receive wholeness and freedom in every area of my life. I pray this in Your precious name, Jesus. Amen. If you have said this prayer, we want to celebrate this special time with you and welcome you to the family of God. Also, let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by emailing us at info@sunlithills.org. We'd like to help you on your new journey with Jesus. Have a blessed week. Until next time, thank you for listening to Nuggets of Pearls from God's Word.